you that I have an anxiety issue?
Hi guys, and welcome to the third episode of The Kind, The Creative and The Chaotic, the podcast with real talk, real people and real enthusiasm. I'm your host, Kelly Jade, and I'm sat opposite designated sound guy, Wayne Naylor.
Hey.
Most definitely not as enthusiastic as me on the sound levels there.
I am, it's just, this is my tone.
Yeah, your tone. Most people actually think I'm being sarcastic with my enthusiasm, like, oh, that was a really good set, man. And then I just get the glare of, fuck you. But I think it's quite a feat that people are tuning back in to listen to us two.
Yeah, damn right.
Oh, God, it's getting too comfortable now, guys. and we're about to add another resource of sound. That's a bit weird, isn't it? The guest on today's show is actually somebody that I've thought of inviting onto the show way back when I was jotting down ideas in my little notepad. She's been an inspiration to me for years, and I can hands down say one of the best singers I've heard. First time I saw her do karaoke, I was literally blown away, because everyone's kind of like up and down, it's a bit like, oh God, sounds like chaos. Amy comes on the mic, didn't know she was a singer at this point. Amazing. So good. Oh no, I've just said her name before. Okay. she's been in several awesome bands such as Queen Kong and Arms, and now she's currently on the solo path with her sound. Everybody, real introduction time. Please welcome the fabulous Amy Stevenson.
Hello, everybody.
Yes. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
How are you today?
Yeah, I'm good. Feeling positive because the weather is amazing.
Yeah. It's good for February,
spring,
isn't it?
Spring is here.
A bit too good.
Yeah. For February. It's suspicious.
Yeah. Lulling us into a false sense of security. And then it's going to be snowing tomorrow.
I feel like it's a London part of me saying that, but I don't trust it.
No.
I don't trust it. Yeah.
Do you like the setup we've got here? So you've got me to your left, Wayne to your right.
It's good. Comfortable. Nice and relaxed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wayne's a very relaxed person. Very relaxed.
I take nothing seriously, ever.
Yeah, you got good vibes.
Thank you. Thank you.
did I miss anything from your intro?
I don't think so.
Any extra bands?
Pretty concise. I was in a band called Jigsaw Lovers as well.
Nice name.
Yes. That was, we played like the Camden kind of circuit and stuff.
Cool.
Years back.
Was that as big as Arms? Because Arms was like, how many people? 10 people.
Jigsaw Lovers was a bit haphazard, a bit crazy. It was really kind of more for fun. Like a bunch of us got together and we were just doing it for fun. Kind of mixing, sort of socializing with just playing music. So we didn't take it too seriously.
Which is nice. Mm. And then is Arms the latest band that you were
Arms
in?
Arms was the latest band, yeah.
When was that? When did that finish? About
2016.
Years ago? Already?
Yep, crazy. So we released our album at the end of 2016 and then unfortunately ended up breaking up, so we didn't get to tour it.
Oh, wow. Well, at least we have you here now.
Yep.
On your solo mission. So you're currently building up your YouTube channel with some of your own songs, but also some covers. Lady Gaga?
Yeah, I'm doing some covers and I kind of want to do a bit of everything on it. I want to do a bit of sort of talking about just life as well and the things that I've learned so far, you know. And I feel like, I don't know, I'm getting to the age now where I've got a bit of knowledge that I can pass on to the younger folk.
Which is nice.
The whippersnappers.
Yeah, the little whippersnappers.
I mean, with the music side of things, how do you decide who you're going to cover? Because it's like Amy Winehouse as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good question, but just something that speaks to me, I suppose. Mm. It's pretty easy. It'll just be something that makes me feel really good and that I just enjoy singing, you know, and then I cover it.
Have you ever wanted to cover something, but you've not quite been able to hit the note?
Like, I am secretly a huge Ariana Grande fan.
Doesn't need to be a secret.
I know,
she's badass, man.
Well, not much of a secret anymore, but, you know, I love her. But, yeah, some of those notes, I've got to, like, instead of going, yeah, hi, I got to go low.
Mm. She's got that, like, Mariah Carey scale.
She's got,
she?
Like, an insane, like, something like, I don't know, 5-octave range or something. It's just mental. Yeah.
I won't try that again.
Not quite there.
And how do you find inspiration to record and upload? Because that in itself can be a bit of a pain. It takes forever.
Yeah, it's tough. But I've been learning recently that, you know, like the issue of sort of inspiration, it's like if you sit and you wait for inspiration, you might never,
yeah,
you know, might never feel inspired. So you have to just sort of almost designate time and just say to yourself, okay, I have to do this.
Yeah.
And then instead of waiting to be inspired, do it, and then the inspiration kind of comes, you know.
Mm. I know a lot of people say you should do a little, even if it's the smallest thing, just every day.
Yeah.
So that you keep topping up.
Mm-hmm.
And keep going.
I am sporadic with it, but that's something that I'm working on and
yeah.
getting better at, you know.
Well, it's tough, isn't it? Because if you're really not in the mood to do something, it's quite hard to, well, put pen to paper. Or
I think a lot of that comes from confidence, though, that I'm just trying to build, like, up confidence. And, you know, because I think that can hold creative people back a lot. Like, just the idea that you're, that it's not going to be good, or you're sort of second-guessing yourself. And I think people who really sort of get somewhere are people who just sort of power through that.
Mm.
Like, I'm reading a book at the moment called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway.
Nice.
And
okay.
It's actually, like, I know all these self-help books, people are can be a bit like, oh, it's cheesy, but yeah, it's amazing. Just like, I'm on like the first like 20 pages and already I feel like, you know, the idea that really successful people don't second guess themselves or feel like fearful is kind of ridiculous. They obviously do, but they just power through it and
yeah,
push through that and just don't wait for the inspiration, just keep going, you know.
Which is good. And you know, it does annoy me when people say self-help books are cheesy or blah blah blah, because it's like, in the day, if you're trying to sort yourself out or like get better at something, like,
completely. I think that, you know, I'm sure some of them are coming from a cynical place.
Mm.
But a lot of people have sound advice, like Ruby Wax is someone I love, like, and she went back to college actually and studied at Oxford and studied like neuroscience to sort
what?
Of
Ruby
yeah.
Wax?
Yeah, it's amazing. And like, so like, I've read two of her books and oh, it's just amazing, eye-opening. Like, she talks about the neural pathways and sort of the way you can sort of, you can kind of change your thinking to make it more positive, that you're not fixed in like one way. So if you're sort of very, if you're like, oh, I'm never going to change, I'm this kind of person who puts things on the back burner, it's like, there's hope, like, you can, you know, and these self-help books can help people. That's what I think.
Yeah. I'm just got visions of Ruby Wax in,
I know,
like a white jacket.
Yeah, everybody thinks of her as, you know, this kind of wacky comedian, but she's got a really serious and, like, such an, she's so intelligent. She's just inspiring to me. She really is.
I need to check her out.
Yeah. Because she suffers from, like, really crippling depression. So I think she just thought, like, I have to find a way, like, through this. And I can relate to that because I've had it since I was quite young.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it's just like reading her books is just such a, gave me such a positive feeling, you know, of hope. And
well, because she, when was it her heyday? Was it like 90s?
Yeah,
in the
90s, like,
yeah.
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 Late
90s,
yeah.
So she must be in her maybe 50s or something.
She's in her 60s, I think.
Is she?
Yeah.
Girl, she's, looks good.
Yeah, she's had some work done, which she talks about in the book. And she's like, yeah, you know, like.
Interesting.
Fair enough.
So with, you said earlier about sometimes it can be difficult because you don't know if it's good enough to put something out there.
Mm.
So do you find yourself doing several takes for YouTube, or do you just try to do it in one?
I do several takes.
Yeah.
But I, that's the thing. I'm somebody who, in the past, even like being a recording artist, like, part of me just hates that side of, like, the repetitiveness of being, like, in the studio and you're literally spending all day maybe on one song.
Yeah.
But, like, it's just the price you have to pay to put out something creative. Like, you have to just deal with it. And, yeah, so when I do, like, YouTube videos, I'll do, like, tons of takes. If you see sort of the raw footage, it's just, like, over and over and over again and again.
And just cursing
and then,
in the middle
going, oh, totally. And you're like... some of those. I should do a video of those, actually, all the outtakes. Of
that'll probably get a lot of hits. Relatable as hell.
Yeah.
But with... So, obviously, the one side with creators is the wanting it to be perfect and not wanting to do things half-hearted. Mm. But also with things like YouTube, you get a lot of trolls. So do you ever worry about, you know, because it's not the nicest, so everybody can have an opinion now.
You know, I hope I have trolls, because I think that would be a sign that I'm successful, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think anywhere that you're doing anything creative, you're going to have people who are like intimidated by that maybe, and then want to sort of put you down, and you just have to use that as fuel to keep on going, you know? That's what I'd say. Mm-hmm.
It's a big thing for creatives to put something out and be happy with it in the first place, so it really irritates me when other people try and tear it down. Like, you don't have to like everything.
It's true, and it's I'll be honest, like, it's definitely a source of sort of anxiety for me, and something that has held me back, like the whole feel the fear and do it anyway. It's like the fear that people are gonna laugh, or they're gonna be like, who do you think you are, or that's ridiculous, or, and that is a huge sort of point that kind of has held me back,
yeah,
that I'm trying to work through. And I'm sure most creative people feel that way. It's like, but you know, you can't get everybody to like something. And if you try, then you're going to lose focus of what you want to put out there, what, you know, your sort of, what you want to create. Like, you lose sight of yourself if you're trying to please everyone else, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I bet for every troll that exists, 10 people that will like whatever it is that you put out.
Yeah, and you just have to remember that. Like, think about, just, someone said it to me the other day, just think about people actually enjoying what you're putting out, like, and focus on that when you're creating it.
Yeah,
you know, don't focus on, like, we tend to always focus on the negative, what if people say X, Y, and Z, but like, what if somebody gets really inspired by it, or it makes their day or keeps them going, you know? Like, that's what we should be focusing on.
No, that's really good, because it's like, it can be really damaging. And like, I've had friends in the past who just kind of stopped
negative reaction. Yeah, totally. Like, there's many times that I've worked on something and then been too afraid to share it because of what other people will say, you know?
Which, literally, that breaks my heart, because I know how talented you are, and for you to not put something out because of other people, it's easier said than done.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, loads of these things I'm saying now are things that I'm trying to sort of channel into my regular daily thinking, but it's easier said than done, you know?
I mean, obviously the internet is a little different from being on stage, but when you're on stage, you have an audience, so people can automatically judge.
Hmm.
But I'm guessing generally there isn't too much heckling, and if there was, then most of the crowd would have your back.
Yeah, I've only actually ever had one heckler, and it was when I was doing a gig in Dublin.
Right.
We were doing it in like one of those sort of diner places where they, I don't know if I can say the name.
No advertising.
Yeah, you know what
although
I mean.
I've been talking about YouTube this whole time.
where they have music that people play there, and like, the table was still set up for all the meals. So when the heckler started heckling me, I picked up a knife from the table and like jokingly held it out to him. But it was like a butter knife, so you know, it's fine.
Still do some damage.
What can
I'm
I do
sure.
with a butter knife? You know.
What can't you do? I think she'd be pretty good with a butter knife.
Well,
I told him.
Do we really get into that conversation? We can do it about an F, because it's some real dark place we can go.
I also once had a kind of a heck. It was more like someone trying to join me. Like, there was this, we played this gig when I was back in Cork, my hometown, and there was this Hungarian guy, and he was literally like 7 foot tall, and he just insisted on like being on the stage with me, and he was like taking the microphone out of my hand and singing. But that was less of a heckler, but it's pretty entertaining.
Yeah. More of just trying to steal the limelight.
Yeah.
Or you inspired him to realise his ultimate dream of becoming a singer.
Yeah, he started singing the Red Hot Chili Peppers over our set.
Okay, well.
I don't think that's what we're playing right now.
Oh,
no,
I just imagine in his head he was just like, you know what? I could do some Chili Peppers,
I could
you know?
Do this. Yeah, this is easy.
Give me the mic.
I wish I had video footage of that.
Me too, God. It's imprinted on my brain though, so I can like replay it.
But I do think it's very brave. Like, I can do the whole talking to people thing, but the idea of being on stage and everybody looking at you at once is terrifying.
It's so funny because I feel the opposite, you know, like one-on-one for me, or like a small group of people, is so much more intimidating than like 500 people watching me,
because you can't really see all the faces.
Yeah, it's like you can just you know, if somebody looks like they're not enjoying it, you can just look at somebody else, or you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to focus too much. But yeah, I've always found it like, that's not really something that I've had an issue with, like being on stage.
Have you ever had an awkward experience other than the heckler and the tall, was it
the 7 foot heckler.
Really, like, weirdly, like, I mean, I've had, it's funny that I've had, like, anxiety and all these things, but on stage, I don't know. Actually, that, having said that, like, I stopped performing for a while, and I went to do a gig again, and I actually had to back out because I was just too anxious.
Nervous. Was it because you hadn't done it for a while? Or?
I think it was just a sort of mental place that I was at the time. Mm-hmm. I just, yeah, I think I sort of wasn't ready, and I pushed myself, and I just was not ready to get back on that stage. So I think retrospectively, I sort of was putting myself under too much pressure, you know?
I know, I always think with that sort of thing, if the vibe is slightly off or just anything in your day, it can really throw you.
Yeah.
And you can't get into your... I don't know if you have an alter ego on stage, but, you know, it can really affect the confidence
of that. It's true, too, because I think that's part of it. It's like your thinking gets away with you, and then you're thinking, I'm so anxious. If I go on stage now, everyone's going to see that, and that's going to sort of translate. And
yeah.
That's the last thing you want, is to be sort of passing that sort of anxiety on to everyone else.
Yeah. It's funny to say, actually, because recently I kind of had to change all of my plans for the foreseeable future with regards to sort of the way I was doing things with my own films and stuff. Because I was realizing that, like, I kind of had to, yeah, I don't know. I kind of had to just, yeah, I wasn't happy anymore. And like trying to push myself to do this over and over again, it was just making me more and more unhappy. 100%. And so I was just like,
I feel you.
I just had to come to terms with it, and it's actually been a bit better these last, like, week or so. So yeah, yeah, no, I totally understand.
For me,
yeah,
like in the last, yeah, because I took a, I mean, I've taken a break from music because, like, I've been playing music since I was, I mean, since I was very young, but like professionally on stage since I was 19. So for like 15 years now, and like when Arms broke up, I just kind of felt mentally exhausted from it, and I just thought I didn't even know that I needed to sort of take a backseat, but I sort of just automatically did. And, you know, retrospectively, it was a really good thing. It's like sometimes you just need to get some perspective, like, because it can be exhausting being, like, creative. It really can be, you know, and especially when it's sort of expected of you, you know?
Yeah, because I mean, like... Because you kind of get to a point in your life where it's like you so desperately want to do something creative and you so desperately want to get these ideas out there, but at the same time, you're pushing yourself and you're breaking yourself and just like,
Totally.
What's going to give? And so you got to make the best decision for yourself going forward, because as much as like creative endeavors are important and mean the world to most creators, that, you know, your life and your well-being matters more. So,
completely,
yeah.
Like your mental health, like if you can't be mentally healthy... then, I mean, what do you have? It's like, there's no point being, like, prolific creatively, but the breaking down inside, you know? It's like, that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
What about your best moment on stage?
Best moment? Oh, it's a toughie.
I bet you had quite a few.
Oh, I've had so many, yeah. I mean, I love every gig for different reasons, but I'm trying to think of what's the most... best moment
or best moments?
Oh, I don't know, you'll have to come back to me on that.
Okay, I'm gonna ask you again at the end.
Yeah, I'll have to think about it. It's funny, isn't it? It's so much easier for me to think about the sort of the hecklers. See, that says a lot, you know. It's like
it
I'm
really
trying to
does.
Change my neural pathways, reprogram my thinking to remember all the positive stuff.
Another thing that I should mention, I'm not sure if you have in passing, but you're completely sober now. I mean, I just want to know, how is that? Because sometimes, I'll admit, I do use it as a safety blanket. And especially if you're going out and, you know, sometimes you'll be in pubs and bars, everybody's drunk and especially getting on stage.
I mean, I can only say that it's without a doubt the best decision I've ever made in my life. And it's completely changed my whole outlook on life.
Awesome.
And, but also, it's the most difficult decision I ever made. And... like, I wouldn't go into it lightly. It was incredibly hard. But, like, having anxiety and being a musician and drinking, it just didn't mix.
Yeah.
And I knew that I was using it as you said, like, I was using it as a crutch. And I never really kind of needed drink to be on stage, but just to be in social settings,
yeah,
I definitely used it as a crutch. And when I removed it, became a bit reclusive, and I've kind of gone through a process of coming back out into the world again. But yeah, it's amazing, you know, it really is.
And what about, you know, if, have you ever had any other musicians on the bill that are, you know, that have they ever judged you, or have you ever felt undermined? Because in the industry, you know, people can be assholes. So I just wondered if you've had
you mean
to deal with
because
that.
Of not drinking, or just generally speaking?
Both.
Oh yeah, I mean, I've done. Yeah, I mean, musicians, bloody hell, they got, you know, they got egos, so. You know, and everybody does. So yeah, you're gonna come against that.
What about the being sober and musician and in the backstage, the green room?
Well, I haven't. To be honest, I haven't really been live performing live since I stopped, and that's kind of where I'm at the moment. Is for a while I was, I mean, I got to a stage where I didn't know if I was ever gonna do music again.
Yeah.
But I kind of like rode out that. I've got over that sort of hump now, and I'm getting back into being creative. And for the first time in a long time, I'm thinking that I'm, you know, I know that I'm going to start performing live again. So we'll see what it's like with the not drinking. But for me, it's not an issue anymore. Like, I don't see myself as somebody who doesn't drink. I just, because it's not, like, that's not the basis where I sort of measure myself, you know. It's like if you're someone who doesn't eat meat, you don't keep saying I don't eat meat. That's just the way you live now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a bit of a tangent there. A bit of
no, we like tangents here, don't we?
Sobriety, yay!
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I recommend it to anyone. Like, you know, I'm not saying tomorrow stop drinking, but maybe if you feel like you have, if you're using it sort of as a crutch, just test yourself. Maybe like try go out one night and say, okay, I'm not going to drink tonight, and see how it goes. And you know, you never know, like it might change your way of thinking, you know.
I mean, and then also you don't have to deal with hangovers, and then you're more creative and productive.
Oh my god, like seriously, that is the best thing. Like my hangovers were the worst. The worst. The self-hatred in one of my YouTube videos, like I actually talk about like being a year sober. It's a year and a half now, but
amazing.
Yeah, like god.
Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome.
Thank you.
Awesome. Very cool. It is a really big step, and
it's a
I
huge
think
it's
step. More to do with social behavior than anything else. Because Wayne, yeah. You've never really drank, have you?
No, I've never drank at all.
Really? You've never drank alcohol? Amazing.
No. I don't know.
I'm in your
spot. I just offset it with being really weird.
Yeah. I mean, me too. That's another thing. It was just. Oh, I was just a bit of a crazy biatch sometimes when I drank. I just didn't like the person that it made me. And since I've stopped, God, I'm getting really philosophical, but like since I've stopped, I feel like I really kind of started to find out who I was.
Yeah.
Because I was drinking from like a teenager up until like a year and a half ago. So really, I didn't kind of know who I was without that. And, you know, I think a lot of people could probably say the same thing. And it's like, should always be able to, I don't know, I just think that it's made me sort of look inward so much more, and just kind of discover who I am more, and I'm so much more present, and more, I'm just kind of building myself back up from the ground up, you know. That's how I feel.
I mean, I guess without even knowing it, you can just suppress your own personality and just sort of mold into a whole group of people.
Mm-hmm.
When it is, because it's such a drinking culture, especially in the UK.
Yeah.
It is very easy to lose yourself.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. Like, I follow an Instagram page called Tell Butter Stories, and they talk about that and how it's just so socially ingrained everywhere. And, like, I'll say as well, like, I don't criticize people for drinking, and I want to kind of put that out there. And it's like, and I also really understand why people do it. But I think it's not really about the drink, but it's about the way society sort of promotes it and pushes it. And, like,
yeah,
like I was watching this morning, and they mentioned alcohol like 3 times in the space of half an hour.
Really?
And like they're drinking whiskey, like, oh, let's try some whiskey. And I'm like, when you
wait, it's Holly,
it's 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
I remember
I've
that
NDA
special.
Yeah, I've seen that thing when they were in the day after the was it the BAFTAs or
NTAs, I think.
Oh yeah,
and they won.
That was pretty funny.
Obviously not being to sleep.
Yeah, they drink like sailors, man. Holy shit.
But I just think it's like, you know, I feel like as a society we can just do better than making people feel that they have to do it, like, you know.
Because we've all had that person that goes, why aren't you drinking? But that comes from their own, they feel bad about drinking, so they're like, well, you know, what's wrong with having a drink? What's wrong with you?
And it just escalates, I think. You know, it really does.
Noise from outside. Someone else wanted to get involved with the podcast. Don't blame them.
There's a techno bird. I heard a while ago. Have you ever listened to Adam Buxton's podcast?
I love him, but I don't.
Oh, I love Adam Buxton. I actually met him in Camden at Camden Crawl once, and it was like
cool
fangirl moment. But like at the beginning of the podcast, he walks in the countryside with his dog, and like one time he was like, "There's a techno bird," and then like he's here. Oh, he's come to your podcast.
It was funny you talk about like sort of sobriety and stuff like that, because there's one question I always get asked when people are like, "Oh, well, I don't drink." It's like, "Oh, how comes?" I'm just like,
it's yeah.
Mm. I don't really have an answer.
That's the thing. When I was
I just make up answers now.
Yeah. So, you know. Well, like what kind of things do you say?
Creative. After the war, I couldn't drink. You know.
That's good. That's good.
My granddad, he lost a phantom limb. Just like, what are you talking about?
You could really have fun with that, if you though, could you?
It's true. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. It's like when I stopped initially, I got like people saying, "Are you pregnant?" I remember asking me if I was pregnant or if I was sick.
Because they just couldn't believe the fact that you wouldn't want to drink.
But I did that with other people. Like, I was in a band when I was in Queen Kong. One of the members never drank, and he still hasn't. And I remember I used to, like, grill him and ask him why he didn't. Like, it's kind of just, like, the base sort of, it's just the norm. It's like, if you don't, you're an oddball. But, like, I don't know. I just don't think that should be the way.
No.
And when in doubt, when asked that question, just say, I'm waiting for Anna Kendrick to meet me at a bar and offer me a drink. That's what I say.
Anna Kendrick?
Yeah.
Mm. Is that the one time you'd say yeah? Or would you just throw it over your shoulder like Space Jam?
Blindfold behind me. Oh! I'm just buzzed.
Back to social media. How do you find it as a musician? Because obviously you can create your own platform for anybody to find, including people like Simon Cowell or, you know, the big boys in the music industry. Because like, obviously Justin Bieber was discovered by Snoop Dogg and Shawn Mendes was discovered on Vine, R.I.P.
I didn't know that, actually.
Not R.I.P. him, R.I.P. the...
R.I.P.
He's
Vine.
Very much
he's
alive
very much
in
alive.
His Calvin
I
Klein
saw his
adverts.
Calvin Klein Did you see on the... was it... I can't remember the awards show, but the other night...
The Brits.
God, what's his name?
Jack Whitehall.
Jack Whitehall, yeah. That's so funny. And he genuinely looks so embarrassed.
Oh, I like a bit of Sean.
I find that really endearing that he actually looked a bit, like, shy, you know?
Yeah. We got lost here. Sorry, Wayne.
Yeah, what are we talking about?
Yeah, it's like,
Shawn Mendes.
I just heard Calvin Klein.
Shawn
Mendes, like, okay, cool.
In his underwear.
So, you can be discovered by people and people over the world can find you, but also it means you've got a hell of a lot of competition because it's
exactly,
a platform for everybody.
Yeah,
I mean, how do you deal with that?
You know what? I listened to the last podcast and Wayne said, like, stay in your lane. And that's so true. It's like, just like, you can't really be focused on the competition. Just stay in your lane and just continue to create. And that's what I think, all you can do. Because then you're just taking away that energy, you know, and that brain space thinking about, oh, this part, but it's so competitive out there, I might as well give up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's so easy to get sucked into that way of thinking, like, because I definitely have, but it's just not, there's no point in that way of thinking, you know?
I love the fact that you picked something up from the first podcast, Wayne. See, passing on nuggets of wisdom.
I was like, oh, you know, God, like, I've never had any wisdom for anybody.
Talking about giving advice, would you have any, because I always think it doesn't matter where you are in your career or hobby or whatever it is, you can always give advice to somebody else out there. So what would you say to somebody that wants to get into the music industry? What would you say to yourself when you were younger?
I think what we just spoke about there, like, instead of, I think the main thing is working on your self-esteem and remembering that you have like a place in society, no matter who you are, where you're from, what you look like, what age you are, you have something to say, and that is important. And never let society or anybody around you make you feel like it's not valid. That would be like my huge piece of advice, because we second guess ourselves and say things like, oh, I know that internally I'll be like, oh yeah, but are people gonna like it? And it's like, F that way of thinking, you know. Just be creative and just believe in yourself. And I know it's easier said than done, but you got a right to be there, you got a right to be creative, you know.
Yeah, sorry about this, guys.
The kids agreed with me there. They're like, hell yeah.
Yeah, they're like, yes.
That's right, I agree.
Let's play.
If people want to find you, where can they? What social handles do you have?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, I've got a YouTube. So if you want to... The thing is, I'm working on changing my URL to a name that I can actually... I hit the 100 mark yesterday. So I can now change the name, but... At the moment, you'd probably just have to type Amy Stevenson into YouTube and have a look.
Okay,
cool. And I'm working on getting a website together to put everything in one place.
Yeah.
Perfect. I need to do that.
Well, when that's all sorted, I'll obviously put it out in our stories.
That's cool.
So everybody keep an eye out for that.
Yeah, because I'll be changing my YouTube address probably today, so
okay.
I can probably add it on.
It will be sorted then.
Yeah, cool.
We'll sort that. Well, thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, thank
that
you so much.
Sped along, didn't
it? Yeah, that was so fun. I loved that.
Because I know you were like a little bit nervous at the start, but I think that's like a standard creative battle, isn't it?
Completely. And I'm just learning to power through it and just do it.
Yeah, do it.
You can do it.
Is it?
Put your back into it.
Oh, that classic Ice Cube song from back in the old Friday days.
I mean, it is difficult for creatives though, because it's like you want to put something out there, but then it's a social aspect sometimes that you just like, not today.
Yeah.
Not today.
But you know, I will say though, for me personally, if I'm not nervous about something that I'm doing, I don't feel right about it though.
Yeah.
But that's the thing about like sort of just powering through. It's like, it doesn't mean that that feeling's gonna go away, but you just have to do it. And I totally agree. Like, if you're going on stage and you don't have a certain amount of nerves, then to me that kind of means you don't really give a crap about it, you know.
Sometimes
with passion comes like that anxiety, that feeling of like, oh, is this gonna be good enough? And that's healthy too, to a certain extent.
Some days I can talk to everybody, but some days I just really don't.
Those days are cool too though, you know.
Yeah, I think we need them to is it recuperate?
Reinvigorate the spirit.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Sometimes you need to just preserve your energy and have like a day of just like self-care.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a kind of a dirty word too. It's like, self-care. And I definitely was one of these people who was like, oh God. But now I'm totally all about that stuff, you know.
Yeah, man.
Look after yourself. And then you can help others, you know.
If you need to sit on your couch for 15 hours straight watching YouTube, do it.
Exactly. You say this every time.
Have some
like
toilet breaks.
YouTube
toilet
is life.
Breaks though, right?
Toilet breaks.
And some food and some water.
I'm not an amateur.
Well, thank you everybody for listening to us. I hope it made sense.
I think that was fun. I hope I didn't ramble too much.
No, very good. And even with the distractions of birds and neighbours and
kids,
whatever was going on over
screaming.
There. Thank you for listening in. Now, today we will finish a little differently, as Amy has agreed to perform one of the first songs I actually heard her sing. It's an original, and I think that it totally sums this podcast up, and you will see why.
Okay, here we go. You think you're the king of Camden, but even if you were, what's that to the rest of the world? You'll be old someday too. Your hat gets bigger with your ego. You really need to sort it out. Being a dickhead isn't an attribute. Anyone can do that. Being a dickhead isn't something to be proud about. proud about underneath that hat.
Can you stop? Remember when I told you that I have an anxiety issue?